All right, back from the break. And don't forget to check out goldcountryradio.org. Click on featured shows. That's where you can find us. It's one of our homes online. That's the radio station that we manage, oftentimes from the road, with internet, which is what we're talking about today. Again, that website, goldcountryradio.org, and then click on featured shows. Let's dive right into it. We need internet in a bad kind of way, don't we, baby, when we're on the road? Because we manage this radio station, and that is completely dependent on being connected to the internet. Now, some mobile internet options for RVers. You can always use your phone as a hotspot, and we've done this quite often. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is flip your phone's hotspot on, then get on your Roku TV and your RV or your laptop or whatever device that you're using and connect to it like you would connect to a Wi-Fi network. And as long as you have cell coverage, you'll have decent enough internet.
And it works well in areas with strong cell signals, but it can be limited by data caps and slower speeds during network, you know, congestion.
Yeah, we found that.
Or if you're around a lot of other people and they're using and streaming and
we found that to be true on the coast with the hotspot on the phone. I think we had like two bars over on the coast, and we tried to turn on the hotspot, and it just really wasn't cutting it, was it, darling?
No.
So be aware of that. It's going to depend on signal strength, and it's really going to depend on how many people are using that network. We have Verizon, and that works most of the time.
I believe it's the best. I think there's a lot more towers and more areas, and we've gotten farther with Verizon than any other carrier that I know of.
Yeah, I know T-Mobile is a close competitor with Verizon. If you've used T-Mobile hotspot on your phone while camping, then jump onto our Facebook page and let us know your experience with that. We've never used T-Mobile when we're out there camping. So we've been Verizon customers for a long, long time. I guess we're a little bit loyal. But I think these days, you know, the competitors have good, as good of coverage as Verizon even these days. Mm-hmm. So
I know that I had T-Mobile before, and I found that Verizon, like I said, they had a lot more towers, and it got me further with being able to use my devices.
Right. Well, here's another thing to consider as far as using your phone as a hotspot. If you do that, it's going to suck your battery so fast.
Quickly.
Oh, yeah. You turn on your phone, it's at 100%. 1 hour later, it's at 25. So, and that's something that we've experienced. So every time that we've done it while we're in the RV, if we want to watch a movie or something, we make sure that our phone is on the charger while it's on that hotspot. But that also means that you can't take your phone and do anything much with it unless you're sitting right there tethered to the wall. Oh, and another thing that you have to be aware of, if you put your phone on as a hotspot and then go get firewood with your phone in your pocket and your wife is watching a movie and you go further than the Wi-Fi signal from your phone can transmit,
then I won't get the service.
Yeah, she will not be happy. And we've done that several times. Or even when she's in the middle of a game online or something and I go somewhere and get about 30 feet away from the RV and then the game just shuts down. And not a happy camper, huh, babe?
Nope.
So keep that in mind. You know, if you're using...
Not in the middle of a movie, that is.
Yeah, using your phone, you have some limitations there. It works good if you're, like, on the road and you pull over at a rest stop and you're spending the night and you want to watch a movie while you're laying in bed or something. That's a great option for you and probably the cheapest option. But like Angie was saying, be aware of those data caps because most of the time your plan will include something like 25 gigs of hotspot, and then you'll be limited in speeds. You'll be throttled back after you reach that 25 gigs. So on your streaming devices and stuff, set the streaming quality to lower, and that like 720 will oftentimes conserve some of that. you won't burn through your data quite as fast, and you'll still be able to watch your shows, just a little less quality. And let's face it, who in an RV is really looking for a 4K TV experience? We're just looking for stuff to entertain us for a while, right? Mm-hmm. So, and if you run out of data, I guess you have to get outside and enjoy the great outdoors.
Oh, I love that too.
Yeah. So just some things to think about if you're going to use your phone as a hotspot. Now, the second option that removes some of these, some of the barriers, is a dedicated mobile hotspot like a Verizon Jetpack or a T-Mobile home internet. And they can be a little bit more reliable in terms of connection, oftentimes with higher limits on your data. And let me back up to one thing. So even though you reach your data cap and they throttle you back, we've never had a problem on our Roku TV as long as we're set at a lower resolution, like 720. Mm-hmm. Even once we surpass the data cap and we go to throttled, we've been able to watch TV nonstop, even at the lower speeds. So,
yeah. Great for long-term RVers, you know, who need consistent connectivity, I think.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, like these mobile hotspots, you know, the dedicated devices, not your phone, but the jetpacks and things, they've come a long way. Remember, honey, when we first...
They can be expensive.
Well, when we first got into it, mm-hmm, 10 years ago, jetpacks were incredibly expensive.
Oh, my gosh.
It was $10 a gig.
Yeah.
Back then. But nowadays we have a Verizon Cube, and we use that thing all over the place. We use it at the tower site. It provides internet up there for the radio station. And then we also have it at home occasionally. We'll bring it down here in case the Spectrum internet gets shut off. It's kind of our backup internet here at home. And we pack it on the road because we can use it on the road. And it offers a little bit better reliability, and I don't have to worry about walking away while Angie's watching a movie.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You might get in trouble for that one.
Absolutely. So the jetpack is a good way to go, or you know, any of those dedicated mobile hotspots. And our jetpack is, or our cube, I guess I should say, is unlimited data these days. I think they've moved away from the buying per gig, which was super expensive back 10 years ago. I think it was, we would pay $100. Yeah, $100 for 10 gigs. And then we'd burn through that pretty quick. And it was like, well, do we recharge or not? Nowadays, I think they've moved away from that business model, and I'm thankful for it.
Yeah,
it's,
me too.
It's gone the way of long-distance call rates. Another option is Starlink. That's a very popular option. What do you think about Starlink, honey?
I really liked it. I felt really blessed to have that.
Yeah. But
all in all, I really appreciated what it provided during our times of camping, when it was terrible weather and we couldn't go out and enjoy the outdoors.
Yeah, and you know, so weather is definitely a huge concern in terms of where you put it, where you mount it. But I like some of the things about it that they have built in to mitigate service interruptions during weather. Now, you're still going to face occasional service interruptions with Starlink because of weather. That's going to happen here and there, but it reacquires the signal because the satellites are moving around the Earth, and so it's going to start finding the next satellite as soon as the service is interrupted, and you'll see the dish start moving out there trying to find the next satellite. And the Starlink dishes actually have a built-in heater, so that when snow does fall on it...
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah, typically it doesn't build up on there. It'll melt right off, which is super convenient. I mean, it's a quality product for what it is.
Yeah.
And unlike Dish TV, where you need a clear view to the south, Starlink, at least in the Pacific Northwest, you need a clear view to the north. And it doesn't necessarily have to be 100% clear view. If you have a twig or something in the way, it will work just fine. If you're in really dense foliage, then it will not work very well for you. Now, I will say that Starlink, as far as the penetration of it, is way better than mobile satellite TV like Dish Network. That was pretty awful.
It was.
I mean, we could have almost a totally clear shot to the southern sky, and one little twig would be in the way, and it would knock the signal off, and it wouldn't acquire the satellite, and it wouldn't reacquire automatically like Starlink does. So, I don't know. If you know, even if you're just going to use it for TV instead of satellite, I think it's way better.
I do recall that, you know, we were in some wooded areas, as long as, like you said, you know, open areas.
Yeah, we shot through some gaps
really
in the trees.
In certain areas.
We shot through some gaps in the trees occasionally with Starlink that never would have been possible with Dish TV. It's a lot more robust of a system, I think.
I do too.
And you get your Roku streaming apps like that. You know, it's a little more versatile too, because not only is it giving you your TV, but it's also giving you connectivity to the internet, which is great. You can jump on the laptop and watch YouTube videos or whatever you want to do. It does draw down on power. We ran it off of a battery bank for a little while on the inverter, and I think it was a 100 amp hour battery, and we made it about 6 hours with that and the TV going before it shut off. Another thing that a lot of people try and are really frustrated with are the Wi-Fi extenders. And they can be useful if you're like on the outskirts of a campground that offers Wi-Fi and the Wi-Fi is decent in the first place. You can put that Wi-Fi extender up to boost that signal up. But a lot of people will buy these Wi-Fi extenders and they amplify the crappy internet, which does nothing for you.
And it can help in places where the main router is far away from your RV.
That's it. It's all about your location in reference to the router. It has nothing to do with how fast that router is going. So if you have slow internet on your cell phone sitting in the clubhouse next to the router, don't buy an RV Wi-Fi extender thinking that that's going to help your speeds in your RV that's 400 feet away.
Yeah.
Because it just won't happen. And then we also touched on briefly mobile satellite TV. I know it's popular with some folks. Dish Network is the one that is currently offering the service. DirecTV is now no longer offering the mobile setup. Truckers will have them on their trucks. And some people love them. Let me tell you, I mean, maybe a trucker would have a different experience because they're parked in these big parking lots with clear shots to the southern sky every day. For RVers, if you're going to be camping out in the woods around any kind of trees, I don't think it's worth it. Certainly isn't.
It would be a waste of money to
exactly.
Lose it.
That's what we found. And, you know, when we did have it, when we were able to pull in Dish TV, the few times that we'd be parked in an open field, what was our biggest frustration with that? It was the commercials, right? You pay all this money, and 99 of 100 channels is infomercials, and then the one channel that is on that has something that you want to watch is interrupted every 3 minutes with commercials. It's mind-blowing.
You're not getting quality TV, believe me.
Exactly. Just go with Starlink.
Yep, Starlink was definitely my favorite.
Yeah. And I think it's a little more expensive. The Dish Network TV, I think, starts at about $30 a month. And that's pay-as-you-go, just like Starlink is pay-as-you-go. You pay for 30 days in advance. At the end of the 30 days, you choose whether to renew or not. But there's not any contracts. Now, Starlink is $150 a month. But in our opinion, it's way better than Dish Network TV.
It has worked consistently better for streaming services like Netflix and YouTube.
Exactly. And now I got to say that $30 a month for Dish Network, they give you like three channels or something.
Yep. Not very much.
Yeah. So in order to get any real watchability out of it, you know, you would have to pay at least $60. And at that point, you're pretty close to halfway to Starlink anyway. I would go with that.
Mm-hmm. I would too.
Well, hopefully we shed some light on some mobile internet options today. It's time to do our campground and park review. This time, we've hosted here for a summer, Lava Lake, Oregon.
Yes.
Take it away, babe.
Well, Lava Lake, Oregon, which is located in the Deschutes National Forest, Lava Lake Campground offers a beautiful escape to me. I thought it had beautiful riverfront, lakefront views and great fishing opportunities.
And real quick, not to interrupt you, but it is the head of the Deschutes River.
Yes. And the sites are primitive with no hookups, so plan accordingly.
Yep, and they have some limited cell service there.
Hiking trails and boating opportunities.
That's right. And so there's Lava Lake, the larger of the two. Mm-hmm. And that has 60 sites, I believe. And that lake is gorgeous. And you can take motorized boats on that. You can take anything you want on that one. And then over on the other side is Little Lava Lake. And they have about 15 sites in there.
And the sites are fairly big.
They are. And that lake is non-motorized watercraft only. So stand-up paddleboards, kayakers, they love that side.
Yeah, there's a store there. And it's a general store.
Oh, the resort.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. They have a little general store.
They're so nice there.
They're super nice. Family-run resort with a little general store and boat rentals and things like that.
And the camping fees start at $18 a night.
Not bad. If you've got one of those National Forest passes, then you can knock half off of that. So it's $9 a night. And you can't ask for a better deal than that. If you are coming and you want to spend the night, make sure that you always bring cash with you or a check. That's pretty much a good policy for any camper, for you new campers out there. Always bring cash or a checkbook because these campgrounds do not have a way to run your card.
No, they have an Iron Ranger.
Exactly. And I can't tell you as a host how many times someone would hand me a card or try to hand me a card to pay for their site. And I'm like,
they'd be disappointed.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We don't have a card reader or anything like that. We're cash or check only. And they'd be like, oh, where's the closest ATM? And I'm like, oh, it's about 60 miles south of here. So save yourself some headache and always take at least $100 with you or a checkbook when you're camping. It's good to have that. Just keep it in your RV, like in a coffee can or something.
Well, another wonderful thing is there are horse camps nearby, and sometimes there will be people on horses that come and couple resorts that aren't too far to drive to.
And they have little restaurants. Yeah.
They're amazing, and they have bands even.
As you can tell, we had a terrible time at Lava Lake over that summer.
And they have ice cream, and the food was just amazing.
Yeah, that was Cultus Lake is the one you're thinking of.
I love it.
That's there's all these campgrounds
and the
Cascade Lakes Highway. That's just north of Highway 58 and 97 Junction. If you take the Crescent Lake cutoff, and then you head up Cascade Lakes Highway towards Mount Bachelor, there's just campground after campground on this highway, and Lava Lake is one of those. All kinds of good views.
Fishing is good.
Yep, absolutely. So that wraps up this episode of the Restless Nomad Show. If you enjoyed today's topic on staying connected while RVing, be sure to check out our website. Again, that's therestlessnomads.com for more info. Until next time, safe travels and happy camping.
Happy camping.
See you guys later.